Welcome to Three Idiots and a Lawyer, Matt Pfeiffer and Joe Schell. Syracuse improves to 4-0 for back-to-back seasons for the first time since 1959 and 1960. With a 29-16 win over Army, the Orange successfully defended their flank. Kind of as I expected, Joe. The first half, I said the defense was going to have trouble with Army's style, and it sure did. It took halftime adjustments for them to figure out.
You called it, yep. You said exactly that. You said the offense could start slow. The defense might get pushed around a little bit, but yeah, luckily a game that had us all pulling our hair out ended up being a pretty good win.
It really was, and I think just so people know, and because I saw a few people say, well, the real season starts next week and whatnot, don't poo-poo a win over Army. Army's legit. Army has beat some good schools in the last couple of years. Army's won some nice bowl games. Jeff Monken does a really nice job there. So winning a game over Army is nothing to, you know, throw into the trash bin. That's a legitimate win.
You tune into an Army football game, and sure, you know, the commentators are going to gush, and I'm not saying that it's wrong for them to gush, but the thing to keep in mind is everything they say that they're gushing about is true, and all those things make it difficult to play Army.
You know, Army's always going to, they're not going to commit many penalties. They never do. They play a tough brand of football. They punch you right in the nose, and that's what they did to us.
But their kids are obviously, you know, fierce competitors, and they're obviously very disciplined, and that makes them hard to play. And you're going to, you know, sometimes it can be annoying because the guys on TV are going to gush about their players so much, but everything they say is true. And those things make them hard to play.
It's very true. And they never give up. And I think that was very obvious to anybody who watched them on Saturday. They were playing 110% every second of that game, which is what you expect out of any of the academies.
We took Garrett Schrader out of the game and had to put him back in the game because Army wasn't quitting. And, you know, I think part of it was that for Dino, it was more of a respect thing to his opponent. He was respecting his opponent by keeping his best players in the game. But I don't think the game was actually in danger of slipping away, and I would have been okay with continuing to see Carlos Del Rio Wilson finish out the game, but clearly Dino was uneasy enough to send him and LaQuint Allen back out there.
And I get it. There's a part of me that would have liked to see Carlos Del Rio Wilson in a pressure situation, like, hey, you need to get this first down on a third and long.
Right.
Let's see
the game's not slipping away yet, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. You need to actually play this game. You're not just handing the ball off 10 times and then kneeling.
Yeah. You have to go make the play. But look, at the end of the day, it all worked out. Syracuse, after trailing 10-3 at the half, they scored 26 points in the second half, give up only one touchdown in the second half, and it was almost in garbage time, a little bit just outside of it. But a 29-16 win put Syracuse in a really good spot. This is a season that I would say has opened as well as it could have. Syracuse went out and did what we would have asked them to do. Go win these four games. It sets them up really well for the eight games remaining in the conference schedule and the gauntlet that starts this week. And we'll get to that. But
this is as good as it gets for us. Cautious optimism. That's about the peak of a Syracuse football season when you can actually sit back and have some cautious optimism.
Yeah. And this I thought was very interesting. Yes, Syracuse first joined a football conference in 1993 when the Big East created its football conference. And this is the first time that Syracuse has ever gone undefeated in the non-conference schedule.
Unbelievable. You thought at some point in the late 90s they would have done that.
Yeah. So they went 30 years in some football conference, and it is just now that they've went undefeated,
you know, part of that is the better version of Syracuse football in the late 90s. You know, their non-conference schedule had schools like Michigan and Nebraska in there. They weren't they weren't necessarily playing Colgate.
Tennessee.
So I'm sure that's part of it, but you know, still, you know, you can only play who's on your schedule, and to take the easy ones, if you will, to actually follow through on that. Three, 4 years ago, you know, we talked about how we need to schedule our way into an easier path to a bowl game. And now that we're doing that, you can't just move the goalposts and be like, oh, well, we didn't really play anybody. No, like we scheduled appropriately for the type of program we are, where our measure of success is to consistently make a bowl game. And we haven't been able to do that yet. And now it seems like the schedule is at least on our side to allowing that to be a stronger possibility, as opposed to scheduling ourselves out of that goal.
And that's part of the success of the last two seasons. Syracuse has won 7 of their 8 out-of-conference games. The only one they've lost in the last two seasons is Notre Dame last year, which was kind of placed, as anybody might remember, at like mid-beginning of the second half of the season.
And that game was there for the taking.
And it was, right. Syracuse could have won that game. So 7 of their 8 non-conference games, a huge improvement over where we were even 4 or 5 years ago. And let's be honest, Syracuse did beat a Big Ten team on the road, which I don't care if Purdue's not having its best year. That's still legit. And it's a game that other years we would have lost. So, and Army is a legit win. And so, you know, I think you got to take all this and embrace it. This is who we are. We found a way to put ourselves in contention.
To your point, I think similarly, the Army game is one that recent previous iterations of Syracuse football would not come back from getting punched in the jaw right off the bat and kind of having a boot on your throat for the whole first half of the game. I think many recent Syracuse teams don't bounce back from that.
Yeah. Or it's brutally close the rest of the way. Like, recent teams might have won that, but they would have won 19-16.
Yeah, and you don't really get any momentum or any feel goods out of it.
Right. So it was a good day for Syracuse. And just to look at some of the numbers, Garrett Schrader, 21-26 for 245, a touchdown. He had that pick at the end of the first half.
He was forcing something. He was trying to make something happen because right at that point, the offense hadn't been able to do much.
Yep. Then he had 10 carries for 50 yards and a touchdown. LaQuint Allen, another 100-yard day, plus 23 more yards in the air and a touchdown. How about Damian Alford? Probably had the best game of his career.
Hands down.
9 receptions for 135, and that's going to be really important because Isaiah Jones is out for the foreseeable future, which to me just feels like the preview of he's out the rest of the season. Just the way Dino said that doesn't make me confident we're going to see him again this season.
Right. It's kind of how, you know, with Wallabaugh and Gadsden, it was vague, but there was also a hint it was going to be a while. And if there's any chance of guys returning during the season, they generally don't say, oh, it'll be a while. So it was not reassuring to hear Dino come out and say it's going to be a while.
On the other hand, when they released the depth chart today, you saw still 6 receivers that I wasn't panicking because we've seen them all play this year and we've seen them all play well this year.
The speed and the size hasn't changed with the shuffling of replacing the injured players. You have a stable of wide receivers who are roughly 6'2 to 6'4 with decent speed and mostly good hands, but everyone's prone to drops on this team lately. So, you know, you're right. It doesn't feel like a whole lot has changed. And a lot of that was Isaiah Jones hasn't really hit his stride this year either. So it's not like, when Gadsden went down, you knew you were losing something big. No knock on Isaiah, but it didn't have that same feeling to it.
Yeah, in the Purdue game, he really had no noticeable effect. I don't even think he had a catch in the Purdue game, or it was 1 or 2.
He didn't play a lot.
Yeah.
And I would love to know, because I don't have a lot to go off of, how our transparency with injuries compares to other schools. I know there's privacy laws and, you know, they're students, so you can't really get as much information on them, but when you have Dino Babers in his press conference say, like, oh, Isaiah Jones in the Purdue game had some, he was playing limited snaps. He was being held back, but it wasn't because of an injury. And then without him playing in another game, you come out and say, oh, actually, he was injured. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Right.
Why about something like that? You could, even if you said, like, oh, you know, he was a little banged up, but we think he's going to be okay. And then you find out he's not going to be okay that soon. And you say, actually, he's going to be out a while. But to say he missed some time in the Purdue game, but he wasn't hurt. And then a week later say, ah, oh, you know, actually he was hurt.
And maybe I'm just forgetting, but do we remember seeing him on the ground at some point?
Nothing stands out of like, oh, Isaiah Jones got hurt. No, I don't recall a moment like that.
So was it practice, right? There's all sorts
They have now walked back and said that it was from the Purdue game. He did get hurt at some point in the Purdue game.
Interesting. Very interesting. But defensively, Syracuse had another good day. The defense, once it figured itself out, really didn't let Army get much of anything going. They held the Knights to 270 yards, 125 on the ground, which I think is the most anybody had us on the ground this year, 145 in the air. Elijah Clark, really nice day. He had 8 tackles. Justin Barron had 7. Marlowe had 7. And a lot of guys with tackles for loss, too, which was a really nice thing to see. And just another day where everybody was contributing. And that's all I'm going to say. Because the next thing I was going to say, I'm afraid I'm going to jinx us. So I'm not going to say it.
All right. We won't say that. We won't say that out loud. But I think we can all assume what the sentiment was. It was
right.
a fear of yours coming in. And right now we are okay. Yeah, a good balanced effort from the defense for sure. Once the second half hit and they came out after halftime, they did a good job being disruptive in the backfield. The offense was able to put some points on the board, and I think that was really the turning point, because you put enough points on the board, now Army's got to pass. And by forcing them to have to pass, they're now turning the ball over more, you know, passing. Even though this isn't the same Army offense of years past, passing is still not their strong suit. By putting them in that position, they were more prone to turnovers, and that really is when the game slipped away for them.
Yeah, it really was. And just to give you an idea, Bryson Daly, Army's quarterback, was only 9 of 21. So definitely not a passing team. And yeah, if you could put pressure on them and force them to pass, was going to put Syracuse in a huge advantage. So let's just do stars and demerits here. There's a gazillion people that we could do stars and demerits for. I'll take Damian Alford for having probably the best game of his career. 9 receptions, 135 yards. That's 15 yards a reception or so he was averaging. Plus, he had that fantastic one-hander in typical Damian Alford fashion at the end of the game to ice the game. He had that big catch inside the 10. Obviously, Syracuse just took a knee then, but it made sure that Army wasn't going to get the ball back. So Damian Alford, best game of his career at Syracuse. So
for sure. Yep. I'm going to give a demerit. Sure, let's give a demerit. I think we have to. I'm going to give a demerit to Brady Denneberg. I've been hard on special teams this year, but in fairness, they've been pretty bad for a few weeks now. Still not used to having someone shaky as the kicker, but I feel like he missed a pretty makeable one, and the game could have been different if we had been able to put some more points on the board a little earlier. But we need some more consistency out of the special teams unit as a whole. Maybe with Trevor Pena coming back, and that's a whole different story that he is back returning kicks, but now this week he's not in the depth chart. Who knows what that means? I'm assuming he's going to be out there. That should stabilize some things, but you know, from the kicking game and the punting game, we need to start seeing some more consistent success. But yeah, as far as a star goes, I'm going to give a star to LaQuint Allen. May not be the best game he's ever had, but to me, I think it was the best rushing performance that he's had in his young career so far. So we're going to need that. We're going to need someone to carry the load that's not Garrett Schrader. We don't want to see too many games like last week where he is our entire rushing game. We know that LaQuint is going to be a threat receiving out of the backfield, but we really need a steady rushing presence from our running back, like the, you know, strong days of Sean Tucker. So it was good to see him have a game like that.
Yeah. Let's throw some extra stars out, because why not? Because we're off to a good start. Garrett Schrader, 21 to 26. you can't fault the guy for a day where he only comes, has five incompletions, 245 yards, a touchdown. He ran for another touchdown right after that very scary injury, which, good news, by the way, that Army player that got injured, Andre Miller, is back at West Point and is being attended to by the staff there, but he is out of the hospital, and that's wonderful to see. But Garrett Schrader had a great day, and he didn't start pretty, but he got going, and I think that's a lot of credit to him. And I'm going to also, because we have to do some defensive stuff here, I feel like we don't always give them credit. Elijah Clark, we haven't given him a star yet. He had eight tackles and a tackle for a loss, so I'll throw one to him too.
Yeah, good to see the safeties play a little better. I think I may have knocked them a little bit last week, so that was a good performance for them.
Yeah. Let's just kind of reset before we move and talk about the Clemson game in a second here. Let's just reset. We're at the 1/3 mark of the season. We're 4-0. We already said this is as good of a start as you would want. How do we feel about Syracuse at the 1/3 mark? You said cautious optimism at the beginning of the show. I would agree with that. I think this is everything I wanted to see. I think they're in a better spot than I thought they'd be. Sure. I thought there's a good chance they'd be 4-0. I think both sides of the ball look better than I anticipated them.
I would agree. I think there's not much to be upset with right now. Obviously, this team has flaws, and its depth has been tested a little bit, but the roster has responded to that depth being tested a little more effectively than we've seen in years past. There wasn't really a close call or a win against an FCS team or a lower group of five team that, you won, but you didn't feel good coming out of it. They dominated their FCS game. They dominated their group of five game. They won a tough Big Ten road game. And then you beat Army at home, who's a respectable program. So there's not a whole lot to nitpick. And obviously, like I said, the team has flaws and the optimism is cautious. We know that the true gauntlet is coming up. There are some holes on this team. There are some weaknesses. We're still waiting for the offensive line to come together, but we've at least seen improvement in that unit over the last few weeks. And that's really all you can ask for at this point. They're not going to turn around and be, the strongest unit on the team. You just want to see them get better each week. And so far we've seen that. But I do want to take a minute to address a certain attitude in the fan base that I strongly disagree with. And I know if you're a Syracuse fan long enough, you see this around and you see these people on the internet, but it always feels like there is a large contingent, or at least a very vocal contingent of the fan base, that can never appreciate when things are good because they're always too preoccupied with waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like, oh yeah, well, they're winning right now, but we're going to play Clemson next week, and who knows? Like, oh, the offensive line has been bad. There's too many penalties. Like, Dino can't manage the clock. It's 2 years in a row now where it's, last year you're sitting 6-0. It's like, sure, we know this could all crumble apart and fall away from us like it ended up doing. But that doesn't mean you can't appreciate what has already happened when you're in the middle of it. Stop and smell the roses a little bit. Like,
yeah,
no one's saying crown Syracuse the ACC champions, or that we're going to see Florida State in the title game this year, or that we're going to beat Clemson. No one is hanging their hat on that. But what I'm saying is that doesn't matter right now. That matters on Saturday. It's Tuesday. Stop and enjoy. Syracuse is undefeated. I feel like this is 2 years in a row where you have to tell people, just be happy that the team is winning football games right now. Anyone who's been Syracuse football fans for as long as we have, which isn't even really that long in the big scheme of things, has sat through some terrible, terrible times. So to then take a moment where the team is undefeated and search for the bad and just wait for it to crumble apart rather than at least enjoy what's happening right now for a little bit, I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. And it's exhausting. And I can only imagine how exhausting it is to have that attitude towards the sport. It's like, why are you even watching these games if you can't even enjoy the good and you're just waiting for the next round of bad?
sometimes it feels like people almost want them to struggle so they can complain about
that. What? It's, yes, it's that some people get more enjoyment from saying, see, I told you this would happen, than watching the team win.
Yeah. I will say this. Going back to September of 2022, they're 11-6. They're 11-6. Going back to September of 2022, to me, that's progress. There's no other way you can put it. They have made legitimate progress. And I think we should all be very excited about that.
Right. You know, you're last year you secured your bowl game before you even really got into the toughest part of the schedule. This year we're knocking on the doorstep of the bowl game as we're coming upon the toughest part of our schedule. But it wasn't that long ago that we were saying, like, all we need from this program, like, we're not unrealistic. All we want is consistent bowl games, and, you know, you can lose 7-8 games once in a while, but as long as you're winning 6-7-8 games most of the time, like, we're happy with that. We're not trying to be Alabama. We're not looking for national championships. We're not even really looking for conference championships. And so we got to stop moving the goalposts at some point. Sure, like, as the program gets better, sure, you can set new goals. But right now, as we're trying to achieve this goal of just building a higher floor, just enjoy when that's happening. Like, sure, this could all go south. We could lose the next 3 games, could derail the whole season. It could be just like last year. But something special could also happen, like 2018.
Yeah.
So why not enjoy it while it's happening?
And let's be clear, even if Syracuse loses the next 3 games, they can still have a very successful season.
Which you said a month ago.
You could lose the next 3, be 4-3 at the break, turn around, and win the next 4 or 5, and you end up 8-4 or 9-3.
We've put ourselves in a position where you don't have to surprise anybody the rest of the way to have a successful season.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if we do surprise somebody.
And yeah, you certainly could. And, you know, you could also lose some that you should win. And I'm sure it's likely both of those will happen still. But
yeah.
You don't have to run the table to have a good year. You lose the next 3 and then you finish strong, especially with how that schedule is looking right now. This team is still primed to put themselves in a position to go to a pretty decent bowl game.
And if you look at the bowl projections right now, and we're given a 99% chance to go to a bowl game right now by ESPN's bowl predictor. I saw one had us in the Fenway Bowl, and every other bowl projection has us better than a 7-5 bowl. I think one had us in the pinstripe too, but I don't see us being taken back to a bowl game we've already been to last year. Bowl games don't like to do that. Every other projection is a bowl that would mean we're at least 8-4. Or 9-3. And right now, the ESPN projection has us at 9-3.
Yeah. And if you watch ACC football a little bit, you check out the other teams around the conference, the eye test will tell you right now, Syracuse is the 3rd or 4th best team in this conference right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 4th, at worst, 5th, because Louisville has looked real solid, too.
Oh, and Jawar Jordan particularly.
And Jawar Jordan is having himself a career at Louisville. He's going to make it. He's going to get a chance in the NFL. Yeah. Jawar Jordan's going to get a chance
in the NFL.
Good for
him. I'm glad. I wanted him to stay, but him going led to Sean Tucker having a career with us. So
exactly.
It worked for everyone.
It did. Let's take a look ahead. Time to start the gauntlet. Gauntlet week 1. Syracuse hosts Clemson Saturday at noon on ABC. This is not the same Tigers we're used to coming in. 2-2, 0-2 in conference. Remember, they lost to Duke on Labor Day, 28-7, on the road. A good Duke team, by the way, who is hosting the Saturday night game this week against Notre Dame. And then Florida State, they lost to on Saturday in overtime, 31-24. Honestly, a game where Clemson outplayed Florida State. But the Noles found a way at the end, and yet again, this was a trend in Clemson's first loss, too. Sloppiness led to their loss. It was a bad fumble, and Florida State returned it for 6. Not in overtime, but earlier in the game. So this is a Clemson team that is really talented. Cade Klubnik is a good quarterback, but he isn't as good as I think everybody thought he was going to be, right? He's not Deshaun Watson. He's not DJ Uiagalelei. I think Uiagalelei was a better quarterback, to be quite honest. I really do. Look at what he's doing at Oregon State right now.
All right.
I really have respect for what DJ Uiagalelei is doing. He's not one of those Clemson quarterbacks of the last several years that we're used to seeing. He's good. He's 96 of 145 on the season. He's got 976 yards, but he hasn't gone over 300 yards in a game yet. He had 169 versus Florida Atlantic. He had 209 versus Duke. You know, so he's not lighting up the scoreboard. And I'm going to be honest, you know who else isn't really lighting up the scoreboard this year? Will Shipley. Will Shipley is good. We know that. But he also only has three touchdowns on the season, two in the air, one on the ground. And he's ran for 292 yards total through four games. And that includes a game against an FCS opponent. Phil Moff is also having a good year, though, 35 carries for 235. So there is this two-headed running game that Syracuse is going to have to lock down on. And I think Syracuse's success in this game is going to be the defense forcing Klubnik to make the plays. And I think our secondary is good enough to create those turnovers again that he's had two picks this year. And Clemson has had some of those fumbles. To me, the key to this game is the defense creating turnovers. If Syracuse can knock the ball out of Will Shipley or Moffa's hand or Klubnik's hand, or if they can force a turnover or two, and then the offense takes advantage of it, I think Syracuse can win this game. I think this is a very winnable game. I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on Clemson, by the way. I'm just saying they're not the Clemson that I think everybody thought we were going to face this year. Everybody said this was the renewed Clemson. They were going back to where they were. It's not quite there. There's still some things that aren't quite clicking yet.
The team doesn't have the luster that Clemson fans were hoping for coming into this year. They thought they were title contenders again, and right now they don't really. I mean, obviously,
well, they're out.
They've already played their way out of that, but the quality of the team still isn't there either.
Yeah. This is a team that's very similar to Syracuse in some ways. Syracuse averages 44 points a game. Clemson averages 42.3. Passing yards a game. Syracuse averages 294.5. Clemson averages 275.3. Rushing yards a game, Syracuse averages 213. Clemson averages 199. They're very similar programs. They're actually as evenly matched as they might have ever been. And I think it's going to mean for another fantastic Syracuse-Clemson matchup that's going to go down to the final drive yet again. And maybe being in the dome is the difference this time, and Syracuse wins that. Although I will say there is one difference between these two teams that scares me, and it's not yardage, it's not passing, it's not defensive, it's penalty yards a game. Syracuse 75, Clemson 35. That's a 40-yard difference, and that's the difference between a win and a loss.
That could be the difference for sure. What always scares me about the Clemson game is that their strengths always tend to be the opposite of our weaknesses. And I still see this as potentially being a game where we get manhandled in the trenches. So for me, the key is to the three keys that jump out in my head are to stop the run, to keep Schrader clean as best you can, and to strike early. If we score first, on the first possession, and we put points on the board early, and we can stop them. No, I'm not saying shut down the run. Obviously, they still have a very talented offensive line. They have one of the top running backs in the country. I'm not saying we're going to shut them down, but if we can get rid of those plays where it looks like you meet the guy at the line of scrimmage, maybe they gain a yard or two, but then they gain 7 yards. That's what needs to go away. That's what still drives me crazy. These guys falling forward for 5+ yards. We need to stuff them at the point of contact and end the play there.
Yeah.
If we can do that, then we certainly have a chance. But obviously, Army doesn't have the largest linemen, and they were able to kind of have their way with us on both sides of the ball for half of that football game.
Yeah.
And Clemson always packs an NFL caliber defensive line, and that makes me nervous.
And I think with reason. Defensively, also, you're going to have to keep an eye on a guy like Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who is on his way to following his dad to the NFL. There's no doubt. He's got 23 tackles in the year, and he's going to be making problems. And he could be a very regular visitor of Garrett Schrader's if the offensive line does not do its job. I look at this game. This is a very winnable game. And I expect Syracuse to come out and do a really, really solid job, because we always play Clemson tough. Even the 2020 team that won one game was beating Clemson mid to late third quarter. We've only had one that got out of hand since 2017, and that was 2019. And I will say, I thought it was very interesting you pointed out there is scoring first or scoring early. Because in 2017, when we beat Clemson, that's exactly what we did. We scored first. We made Clemson play comeback that whole game. And we never, I don't think they actually ever led in that game. They were always trying to come back and come back and come back. And if Syracuse is going to be successful on Saturday, that's what they've got to do. You've got to get out ahead. And then when you get the ball back, you got to go out and score again. And you've got to make it 7-0 or 10-0 or 14-0 before Clemson even knows what happened to him. And put Clemson in a situation where now, oh crap, we've got to do something because the dome is going absolutely nuts. And by the way, if you haven't bought your tickets, go buy them. They're on like a 40% sale right now. So, and
I'll be there.
There you go. Yeah. I'm not close enough to be there, but you know, if you're close enough, get your tickets, go. This team's worth seeing, and this team's worth supporting. And I think Syracuse is going to play a really, really solid game. And I've waffled back and forth, back and forth. How do I pick this one? Because I don't know. I'm still here on Tuesday, and I really want to pick Syracuse because I do truly believe in that. You're going to win a game you don't expect to win, lose a game you don't expect to lose. We haven't won a game we didn't expect to win yet. And I think that game's got to be in these three. I also think our loss is going to be in that, the unexpected loss is going to be in that final five against one of the Techs or Pitt. But this is going to come down to the final drive again. And it's going to come down possibly to what it did 2 years ago when somebody misses a field goal or somebody makes a field goal as time expires. By the way, Clemson's kicker, if it comes down to him, that off could get street. Interesting.
Off the street.
That could get very interesting. If it comes down to our kicker, it could get interesting too. This could go to overtime. This could be one of those that goes to one or two overtimes as well. My score prediction is 27-24, which is what it was in 2017. And I think it's an honest coin flip as to who is on top at the end of it. Since Syracuse is home, at this very moment, I've decided I'll say Syracuse pulls it off. 27-24. It's going to be ugly at moments. You're going to have your heart in your throat. It's going to be brutal. I think our line's going to get tested. I think there's going to be moments you're going to say, oh my God, they can't stop anything. And at the same time, there's moments you're going to go, oh my God, LaQuinn Allen reeled off a 60-yard run. Oh my God, Garrett Schrader ran for 21. Oh my God, Garrett Schrader somehow tricked the whole team into going the other way again. I think there's going to be moments like that. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. And I think Syracuse is going to win one of these three. And I think this is the most likely one. Syracuse, 27-24.
You know, I pretty much foresee this the exact type of game that you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't rehash that. Yeah, it's going to be close. It's going to be a good football game. What I kind of, at this point in time, feel in my gut is going to happen is that late in the game, defense is going to be tired. and we're just not going to be able to stop Clemson from marching down the field on their last possession and punching one in. So right now I'm saying 31-24 Clemson in a heartbreaker. We're just not going to be able to stop the run down the stretch. I hate to say it, but that's what I'm feeling right now. And I hope I'm wrong, and I won't be shocked if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll be pulling for. But right now, if I had to put money on it, that's what I'm going with.
The more of you that are in the dome, the more likely that the kicker off the street for Clemson, to give you the story, he was a kicker for Clemson previously, left the team, was, I guess, still enrolled online.
He was getting his business degree online, and Dabo found out.
Yeah, and since their kicker was having trouble the first 3 weeks of the season, they brought him back last week, and he missed one.
Yeah, but he also made one.
But he made one.
Which is impressive. He put them on the board first. For a kid, he had to go outside in his yard and kick some footballs before he told Dabo whether he could do it or not. That's where he was at. He had to go kick footballs for the first time in 6 months.
Right. So he hasn't been in a hostile environment in a very long time, folks. So the more of you packed in there that are being loud, the more likely he misses.
We can make it just as loud as Death Valley with half as many people. That's the good thing about the Carrier Dome. The JMA Dome.
Yeah, and keep in mind that Death Valley, they wouldn't have been loud for him because they want him to make them. So go out, get your tickets, support this team. They're worth supporting. If you want to go apple picking, there'll be still some daylight after the game ends at 3:15. So, or go Sunday.
There you go. That's what Sundays are for.
That's right. Sundays are good apple picking days, not Saturday between noon and 3:15. So it'll be very exciting. I think this team excites me because the gauntlet suddenly doesn't feel at, it's still a gauntlet. North Carolina's good. Clemson's good. Florida State's good, but they're all beatable. And we've all seen that in the first 4 weeks. Florida State's had two nail biters in a row, including one against Boston College.
Very bad Boston College team.
And North Carolina has looked really solid on offense, but they're giving up points. So it's their defense isn't what's winning games. So
everybody has shown vulnerability in one way or another.
And I think Syracuse is going to go 1-2 in this stretch. I think they're going to lose two, but I think they're going to surprise somebody. I've got it as Clemson. But if it's not Clemson, I'll probably pick us against UNC next week because that's the other one I think that we've got a better chance against. But let's just do it this week, and we'll be 5-0.
Let's win both of them.
Let's win both. Let's be 6-0 again. That was fun. And then maybe we're the Saturday night game. Oh, boy, can you imagine that? We'll be the Saturday night game in prime time at Florida State, like ABC 8 p.m. We might be the game day game, but it won't help us because it'll be at Florida State.
Matt, we going to Tallahassee again?
Maybe we'll have to. We might have to arrange for that. I'm free. I'm free the 14th. Actually, I'm not free the 14th. I have a wedding on the 14th. Oh, no.
Is it in Tallahassee?
It should be now.
It is now. Next, make some calls.
We can move this. Warm weather, folks. Warm weather. Let's take a look how the opponents did this week. Colgate, bad season getting worse for the Raiders. I remember you in week one saying, this is a good FCS team, Joe.
They traditionally have been somewhat recently, but yeah, not the case now.
Not the case this year. They're 0-4. They headed to Holy Cross, who was the preseason favorite in the Patriot League, and lost summarily 47-7. Yikes. Western Michigan loses to Toledo 49-31 on the road to drop to 1-3. This is a game Western Michigan blew. They were up 24-14 at the half. And just couldn't finish it. Toledo, obviously, always one of the better teams in the MAC. That's why I'm glad that we haven't seen them on the schedule ever since that missed field goal, actually, made field goal that we actually missed game in 2011.
I'll never forget that. You can see me on the television replay throwing my hands up because we missed the field goal. I'm like, no!
And then Mr. Mertz, our band director, saying they were talking about the band on ESPN, being obvious that he missed it. So from now on, we're all going to pretend he made it every time.
Oh, Purdue, what a day.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. And fun history, if you don't know this, Toledo actually tried to afterwards get the result of the game changed. They actually appealed to the conference officials. I think they were MAC officials for that game, and said, hey, we should deserve to win that game. And they were told that, no, once the result's final, it's final.
So, I can't imagine if that happened to us. I can't even imagine what that must be like. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Purdue, they lose 38-17 versus Wisconsin. The Badgers clearly watched the Syracuse tape, because they put the ball on the ground 43 times for 195 yards. Granted, that's always been Wisconsin's bread and butter, but I get the sense they watched that Syracuse tape pretty close and said, yep, we're going to just run it at these guys. And sure enough, Purdue had trouble with the run. As I mentioned, Florida State, number 4 in the country, now I believe number 3. They beat Clemson on the road 31-24 in overtime. Clemson's 2-2, as I mentioned. Florida State 4-0. North Carolina, number 17. They beat Pitt on the road 41-24. Tar Heels are 4-0 as well. Pitt 1-3. And the backup quarterback got in this time, which tells me that Phil Jurkovich's job is in danger at Pitt. Things just not going well. They're trying to figure out that offense. Still a lot of football to be played. But Pitt is in a situation. They got to start getting W's, or they could get into real trouble real fast here. Virginia Tech, they dropped to 1-3. They had the Marshall this past weekend and lose 24-17 at Marshall. The Hokies, other than Virginia, which is the only team without a win in the ACC right now, Virginia Tech might be 13th of 14. Virginia Tech is rough. Boston College, they lose on the road at Louisville 56-28 to drop to 1-3. They gave up 42 points in the first half. This is a week after taking Florida State to the wire. And it just shows you, college football, just crazy, right? One week you're challenging the fourth-ranked team in the country. The next week you're getting blown out at Louisville. And Louisville's 4-0. Don't worry, we do not have to play Louisville this year. Unless somehow we both end up in the ACC title game. And so, yeah, we don't right now have to worry about the Cardinals, and I don't think we'll have to. Georgia Tech, they went on the road at Wake Forest 30-16. That's Wake's first loss. And this is that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde Georgia Tech that I have no clue what we're going to see in the 11th game of the season, because you could be this Georgia Tech or it could be the one that's lost some of the games this year.
And they did the same thing last year.
They're 2-2. They're exactly what you said at the beginning of the season, Joe. They have no identity. You can't really tell what they are week to week. Very strange team to keep up with. So, it is Tuesday, September 26th, which means the basketball schedule was released today. And also, basketball practice started, I believe, yesterday. So, things are getting started on the hoop side. Very exciting. You'll start seeing some exhibitions by the end of next month. And I'll tell you what, Joe, the schedule, we just looked at it. Woo! They're not ducking anybody. The out-of-conference this year, oh boy, lot to take in. We won't go through all of it, but just pointing out some highlights here. November 20th, so that week of Thanksgiving, Tennessee in the Maui Invitational. Really solid. And then depending on the result, they'll play Purdue or Gonzaga. So neither of those are easy. November 28th, they'll play LSU, which the Qs.com website was very nice to spell out Louisiana State, which nobody does, but okay. December 9th at Georgetown. December 17th, Oregon in South Dakota. So that will be an interesting matchup. December 21st, former Syracuse quarterback Greg Paulus will bring Niagara to the Dome. Is that really a big one to point out? I'm just pointing that out because of Greg Paulus. January 2nd at Duke. January 13th at UNC. January 20th, Miami comes to the Dome. January 23rd, Florida State comes to the Dome. February 7th, Louisville in the Dome. Clemson's in the Dome February 10th. UNC's in the Dome February 13th. As you can tell, there's about a month time period where, like, we just have a ton of home games. And then there's, like, more road games on each end of it. It's like we're being bookended. February 20th at NC State. February 24th, Notre Dame. March 2nd at Louisville. And obviously, there's a lot more games in there. I was just throwing some of the bigger ones. Oh boy, this
am is... I the only one who has no idea what playing Oregon in Sioux Falls is all about? I have no idea what that is.
I think it's just one of those basketball invitationals. They do a bunch of men's and women's basketball games in December up in
Sioux Falls. They just picked a place like, where will nobody care about either team? Ah.
It's just kind of taking college basketball on the road and, hey, let's take these two big programs and send them to South Dakota in, checking my notes, December, which sounds just, with all due respect to South Dakota, lovely state, I'm sure, but I think even they would agree that December 17th, probably not the warmest time in South Dakota.
Ugh, they're going to get stuck in a blizzard.
Maybe. Of course, I guess we'd get used to that. Yeah. I'm sure they can handle their snow just like Syracuse can. I certainly hope they would, because from what I can tell, the Dakotas get a lot of snow. This is a tough schedule.
We're going to learn a lot early.
We're going to know basically who this team is before Christmas. I don't know if I like that or not.
I don't think that's been true of a Jim Boeheim team ever. No, yeah. So that's going to be the noticeable change right off the bat is testing this team early.
Yeah. I mean, November, by Thanksgiving, we're going to be battle tested. And it's going to be a really interesting year. And just, we've got a lot of teams twice in the ACC this year. We have Duke twice. We have UNC twice. No. Do we have Duke once? Let me check that again. We're going to check that again. I know we have UNC twice. There's Duke at Cameron, of course. Oh, no, we only have Duke once. Well, there's that. But we have Clemson twice. We have Louisville twice. We have NC State twice, who always plays us tough. We've got Notre Dame twice. Now, they have a new coach as well. Whew. This is tough. This is a tough schedule.
We're going to know. We're going to know who they are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, a lot of talent on this team, but a lot of new talent. So it, you know, it's good to not wait until conference play starts to learn what sort of team you have, especially when there's so many question marks on this roster.
Yeah, absolutely. One more thing before we go, I wanted to talk about Syracuse soccer. I had promised that we were going to talk about them and we haven't. So they're ranked number 7 in the country right now. They just had their national championship celebration and alumni weekend this past weekend in a 3-2 win over Pitt. They currently sit at 4-1-3, Joe. So Syracuse soccer having a nice back-to-back year. And, you know, they have one win in conference and two ties right now. But they're looking really solid. And by the way, the two ties in conference are against then number 7 Louisville, 2-2. And then number 20, Wake Forest, 1-1 on September 16th. Their lone loss is to Cornell on September 19th, 2-1. But other than that, they're playing really well. They've got Duke on Friday. Duke's number 11 in the country. As anybody might be able to tell, or if you don't know, the ACC is a good soccer conference. So having a 1-0-2 isn't too bad right now. And so this team looking to potentially get back to the playoffs again in soccer. Still a lot of games to be played, but nice to see.
It's a very different team than the team that won the championship last year. A lot of new faces, but they haven't done anything so far to show that they're not capable of doing it again. You know, they're not quite as good as last year's team seemingly so far, but they haven't lost one yet, and they've played the good teams tough, and there's a chance that this team ends up in a good spot as well.
For sure. And if you want to watch them, they're on TV quite a bit, as you would expect for a defending national champion. They're going to be on ACC Network Friday night at 7 p.m. at 11th-ranked Duke. They'll be on ACC Network Extra, so that's the online thing, next Tuesday against Colgate. And then next Friday night on the 6th, they're at North Carolina. That's on ACC Network. They'll be on ESPNU October 15th for a home game with Clemson. And by the way, I will say something that makes me really excited to see is I saw some pictures, a lot of students showing up.
Yeah, they get better turnouts. I mean, winning a title will do that, but they've been showing up.
Yeah, so good on Syracuse soccer, and hopefully they can keep it up. And that's all we have this week for Three Idiots and a Lawyer. If you have the 1990 NCAA lacrosse trophy, make sure to let us know. We just want to know that it's safe. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, as every news story that mentions X says now. Facebook is where you can also find us or send us your thoughts and comments at threeidiotslawyer@gmail.com. By the way, one more thing before we go. Joe, did you have any thoughts on what Brett said last week? Brett called into the show and he had made a mention about turf and whether or not Syracuse having turf could hurt them in recruiting going forward, because there's this big movement against turf after Aaron Rodgers' injury and whatnot. I wanted to make sure that we at least address that real fast. I didn't think of it till now. I don't think it's going to hurt us. I think right now we've got one of the better recruiting classes we've had in the last 15 years lined up, and so it's clearly not making a difference.
You know, I don't know what the actual breakdown is or what the numbers are, but I feel like at this point currently artificial field turf is so ubiquitous that it wouldn't really affect recruiting at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Michigan has field turf. Notre Dame has field turf, and they're outdoors. They could easily switch back if they want. I mean, Notre Dame was actually very recent they switched to field turf. They had been grass for 100-some years. Yeah. So,
plus, there's no point worrying about it. We can't do anything about it. We're committed.
That's true, yes. Our roof says we are very committed. But yeah.
Unless
okay.
we get one of those slide out fields, which just slides out over ESF and they just have to grow our grass for us. And it slides back in.
That would be so funny. But look, if you've, like I said, if you got the 1990 NCAA lacrosse trophy, NCAA lacrosse trophy, let us know. We just want to know it's safe. Until next time, for Joe Schell, I'm Matt Pfeiffer. We'll see you next week.